Okay, cool. Cool, man. There's Alfred. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This, I love you too. Hope you still love me after this sermon. I noticed that I've been getting great reports on everybody this week. You're all just held it real well. You're overcoming. You're had a smile on your face most of the time, anxious to help. They told me this morning, I called to see who all was there to serve food this morning, and they said they had more than they needed, but they put them to work anyway. And of course, that's the way we like it. Don't get too confident now. You don't let your guards down. If you will, you'll get in trouble. You need to be thinking every morning before you get out of the bed. If you just don't lay there and go back to sleep, but but think just a little bit before you get up and ask Yahweh's help and guidance. And every morning, then stay on guard all day. When you start getting tired and irritable and you can't rest, well, start praying to Yahweh for strength. And so many times we get to the point, you know, where we can't rest and the load keeps coming till late night and disappointing news. And you're not the first one to have that problem. And that's I want to bring in a great example of righteousness and being able to stand up under any kind of load. And of course, all of us want to be that way, and that's what we're training for. And the harder you train and the more you think and train your mind, the mind is what guides the body, of course, and then the heart guides the mind. So really desire this with all your heart to be perfectly righteous, and we are going to achieve it. We're just right there close right now, and praise Yahweh, and everything is pointing to that too in the scriptures. If you'd be turning over to Eob, or as it should be, Yashub, because Yashub was a shining example that Yahweh used here in letting a righteous man suffer. And of course it was his test, because Eob was blessed, and this was held up by Satan, you know, to say, well, he's just doing it for the blessings that you give him. What most people don't understand is he was running the house of Yahweh. And at that time, and it was a pretty fair house. And if you read it with that in mind, you'll see it's so much like what we have here today. You'd think he is talking about us in this, and maybe even as a prophecy, or at least prophecies. A lot of prophecies in it concerning the last Abel or last day's work that we're in right now. And what Yahweh wants us to achieve, and we can if you'll just set your hearts, your minds to it, and remember some things that took place here in Yashub's life. In verse 1, he tells you that Eob or Yashub was a perfect man. He was blameless. He reverenced Yahweh and shunned evil. And of course, most of you I know still remember and practice those, that going on to perfection, where I brought this out about the purpose, the perfect man being one who reverenced Yahweh. And of course, if you remember that, you'll know that reverence, it means love. but it's also proving the love by, of course, keeping Yahweh's laws. And the first commandment is love Yahweh with all your heart. And that's not in the ten, but that's the greatest commandment there is to love Yahweh. And of course, it's hard to do that because you have to see Yahweh through his laws, statutes, and judgments, but also through his plan and his prophecies. And then you're told to believe his prophecies. That's easy now because we see them coming to pass, and, you know, 99% of them already come to pass. We have about 1% left to go of the prophecies that put the finishing touch on Yahweh's plan. We're in that time period right now where Yahweh is bringing you to perfection, where your sons and daughters will be actually prophesying. Yes, prophesying. I remember when Kohan Heimerman, the great Kohan David Heimerman, came here. He was about my age then, and had a family. The family's about my age now, and he's a little bit older, but that's an okey joke. Nobody gets it when I say things like that, I know. But he got old, but I didn't, you know. That's what's the use? His boys are about my age now, and they're trying to take my place preaching. Doing a great job of it, too. And the grandsons are trying to do the same thing, and I see that in the kingdom, and it's a wonderful thing, you know, to see that how Yahweh's laws work, as one of his sons just showed you, and how he was brought up in keeping this, and now he stands strong in a field of honor, and of course. The trials may be yet to come. You know, it could. So don't let down on it. You will be tempted and at the most vulnerable times, because Satan is given a certain amount of control sometimes. And if you remember this story about Eob, I'm not going to cover the whole thing, but I will refer to different things. Yahweh said, don't touch my servant personally. and it was almost like a threat, you know, which it could have been, and Satan knew better than to touch him personally, to defile him. He never was defiled. Although he became sick, he never was defiled, and Satan knew better than to do so. Or she would have been in jail quickly and not let out again, and someone else would have took her place, and she knows it. But anyway, the man was perfect, and he reverenced Yahweh. If you see his laws and you see see them working, which we have seen in our young people, and we're seeing it now. And of course, if the person is pushing these laws daily, and the children are experiencing them, and they are yielding to it and yielding their lives to it, it's being set in their minds. It's also being set in their hearts to follow after that righteousness. And then when you see the prophecies of Yahweh and what the world has come to. We're going to see that more clearly. Hopefully next Sabbath, you're going to see the brutality of this world and what Yahshua said about the love growing cold. Hopefully that will be together next Sabbath and where you can see it. And then, of course, hear the scriptures along with it. But don't miss that next Sabbath. Make sure you're here every Sabbath. Keep your appointment with Yahweh and he will teach you. But this man, Eob, he knew Yahweh's laws. He was raising his children according to Yahweh's laws. They were keeping the feast. They went through almost everything. I can see in this book they went through almost everything that we have gone through from day one when the persecution started, and of course, worshiping Yahweh and the people finding out that that's what you're doing, the persecution will start because you're using the name. Eob saw this because Satan turned the world loose on him, and you can see how they attacked him. If you want to read the book separately, I won't cover all of it. but in reverencing Yahweh and seeing the prophecy and the plan of how he intends on stopping sickness. Now, of course, almost everybody in the world now is suffering sickness, except maybe some of our young people who have been brought up with healthy foods. And even they suffer it some, but not nearly as much as the world. I told you about Yahweh cleansing Oklahoma, and of course, he cleansed it with a drought, high heat, the same as we've experienced in the past few weeks, with record-breaking temperatures and a drought. He cleansed the land. I lived off of the land a lot when I was a young man, and Dad and Mother taught us how to pick certain things, what was clean to eat, what was not clean to eat, and what was poison and not poison. And I wasn't too great at washing that food, but I never needed a doctor, ever. In fact, I think I was in my 40s when I first tore my stomach open and had to go have it sewed up. And I think that's the first doctor I went to in my life. But the land was clean at that time, and the food was clean. And I think if it had been kept that way, people would have started living the 120 years instead of the 70 years that they're dying at now. The 120 years, some of them even went further than that. Methuselah, I believe, lived 900 years. But it shows you the difference in the health of the land and how it also brings forth the healthy bodies. And doctors just were not needed, maybe in accidents or something like that, in Oklahoma, where I was raised. Now, the ones that lived in the cities, that was probably a different matter, but the ones that lived in the country had clean food, and if they knew what to eat, they had a healthy bodies, and the food that was edible, the bodies used it efficiently, and of course, you could work in the hot sun all day long. I did. I worked in the broom corn patches where you couldn't get any wind, where the broom corn was higher than your head, and hot sun, and it didn't bother me that I remember. It didn't bother me at all that I can remember. And worked all day, came home, milked the cows after I got home, milked them before I went to work too. That is, I helped in doing it. That would every child at that time was taught to live off of the land and raise their own food, and of course that took some doing in drought years. But it can be done. Well, Yashub had seven sons. Verse 2 says, seven sons and three daughters. He had also a large number of servants, a large number, but doesn't say how many. And then verse 4, his sons used to take turns holding feast in their homes. Well, of course, this is a no-no, and we've tried to discourage this ourselves here because people want to separate themselves and go to their own trailers or mobile homes or homes, instead of being part of the house. And this is what this is speaking of. This wasn't birthdays, as somebody said before, it was the feast days of Yahweh. They kept the feast. It's shown more than once in the Holy Scriptures, in the book of Iob, Yashub. It's shown more than once about the keeping of the feast and setting the feast. But they wanted to separate themselves and, of course, keep the feast separately. And Yashub was afraid that they had sinned, the great possibility when you hide behind closed doors. That's where the Pharisees got their names. Pharisee means separatist. And of course, when you do this and you separate yourself from the people, you don't find that in Yahshua's practice or the 12 disciples. It's something that it tends to lead to darkness and also confusion of the mind. In verse 5 there, the last part, you'll see the sins and that he was afraid his sons had sinned, so he prayed and offered sacrifice for them as the priests do today. The priests, the priestess, they're continually praying and offering sacrifice of prayer for the young people. And even a lot of the old ones are not trying to overcome. Verse 8, we see again that he was perfect. Then Yahweh said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Yashub? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, one who reverences Yahweh and shuns evil." Well, of course, that's your perfect man and or woman, and that's what I want our young people to start thinking about. That right there, shun evil, every bit of it. Praise Yahweh. Someone wants to be a pervert around you, tell him, "You're a pervert," or her, "You're a pervert. Get away from me. I don't want anything to do with you." That's what's been told by some of our young people. They've said just that thing, and I just repeated what they said. and I was really pleased to hear that they were doing this. It makes me think of the scripture in Yada, where it said where he said he was pleased that to see the young people keeping the laws of Yahweh because of the much deception that has gone out trying to get people not to keep the laws. Well, of course, Iob was fighting that, or Yashub was fighting that at this time too, as you can see in some of his friends. Verse 9, Satan answered Yahweh and said, "Does Yashub reverence Yahweh for no reason? Have you not made a hedge around him as well as around his household and all that he has on every side? You have blessed his every effort and his possessions have increased in the land." And of course, Yahweh said, "Well, go ahead and do him. Just don't touch him personally. So do what you want and prove him. And we'll see how he turns out." So, of course, he turned out great, and you can too. But the trials you, praise Yahweh, the trials that you go through in this, they can be big or small, depending on the job. Now get this, boys and girls, depending on the job that Yahweh has in store for you in the kingdom, in his habitation, in his house forever, those positions are, some of them are extreme. And of course, to prove that you are worthy for that job, then Yahweh may put you through more tests. It may come with your mother or daddy. It may come with uncle or whatever. But those tests will come. You are going to be tried. Everybody is. Everybody has up till this point. It could get worse, or maybe it's over. Maybe it will be over. But that Yahweh is the judge, and he allows certain things to strengthen you or to find out what you're worthy of or can do or can't do. In chapter 2 there, he says, "But reach out with your hand and strike his flesh and his bones, then he will curse you to your face." Then Yahweh replied to Satan and said, "Behold, he is in your power, but you must spare his life." Then Satan left Yahweh's presence and then afterwards afflicted with a severe skin inflammation. And then verse 9, his wife turned against him and tried to get him to sin. And then verse 10, of course, he calls her a few creepy names there. Then verse 10, "But he said to her, 'You talk like well, someone with no understanding is the way we put it, but it actually went further. Shall we accept success from Yahweh only and not accept trouble?' In all this, Hiob did not sin with his mouth." Now, if you go over to chapter 30, you can read the rest of this separately. If you haven't read it, you need to. But keep in mind, he's talking about a house of Yahweh here. And you'll see this as you go through it. And some of the things you've went through, you'll see that we went through the same things. In chapter 30, let's look at verse 12. He says, "On my right, a tribe of rebel attacks my feet, laying their snares. They build siege ramps." This is talking about lawyers and trying to set a trap where they can take him before the courts put him in jail, make him suffer, take everything, all of his possessions away from him because they're lusting after them. It's talking about lawsuits. Verse 15, terrors are turned upon me, driving my dignity away like the wind, my success dispersing like a cloud, lifting him up for Satan's groups to see and saying, "See how evil this man is." He was even taken and thrown in jail. He's worse than Al Capone. "Now my being is poured out, and the days of my affliction have seized me. My bones are pierced at night." My bones ache of a night. The muscles in my legs and feet, they squeeze up and they start pulling against my bones, and it wakes me up, Hiob said. "And you can't get any relief from it," Hiob said. And all of this is brought on by extreme stress. "Now my being is poured out, and the days of my affliction have seized me. My bones are pierced at night." At night, did you get that? At night, you can't get enough pillows on your feet to keep them warm. At night, Hiob said. "It's impossible to keep the pain away from your feet." That's where it starts. And then it creeps slowly up your legs till your legs are aching like somebody is sticking a pitchfork in your meat or taking your skin like that and pinching it and twisting it, Hiob said. "My bones are pierced at night, and my gnawing pains never leave." It gets worse. Look on down to verse 25. "Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Have we not worked for years to feed those Yahweh brings to this house?" Yashub said, "Yet when I expected success, evil came. I hoped for light, but darkness came in the ones brought here for us to feed. My bowels never ceased churning. had diarrhea for over 5 years now, Eob said. Diarrhea. That would kill most people. But it didn't kill Eob. Get what he's saying here. My bowels never cease churning. When a man would get close to me and say, "What'd you say?" I didn't say anything. "Oh, that was my stomach talking to you." My bowels never ceased churning, and days of suffering confront me. That's how bad it can get. 28, I stand up in the congregation and beg for help. Let's go to 31, chapter 31. Chapter 31 and verse 1. Because I want to point out something else to you here. I made a covenant with my eyes that I should not lust after foolishness. That's what we have done, every one of us here. This is Yashub 31:1. That's what we have all done here. Verse 3 says, "Is it not destruction for the wicked?" That is, lusting after things we should not. "Is it not disaster for the workers of iniquity?" Verse 5, "If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot has hurried to deceit." No, we've all turned from that. We've determined in our minds that we're going to be upright with Yahweh. Our integrity cannot be questioned at all, said Yashub. "If my step," look at verse 7, "if my step has turned from the way, or my heart followed my eyes, or if any spot appears to my hand, then may I sow and another man eat, and may my offerings be rooted out." If you hold your place right there and look back to Leviticus, that word spot in verse 7, look at Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13 and verse 2. Leviticus 13 and verse 2. He says, "When anyone has a swelling or a rash or a bright spot in his skin, and that may become an infection, a skin disease like leprosy, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priest." That was the law. "The priest shall look at the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white and the sore appears deeper than the rest of the skin, it is an infection, a skin disease. When the priest examines him, he shall pronounce him unclean. If the spot on his skin is white, but does not appear to be more than skin deep, and the hair in it not turned white, the priest is to put the infected person in isolation for 7 days. And then, of course, it goes on from there, what to do with him. The same thing, of course, is what we look for is what we would look for if we were going to sacrifice a lamb. We would look for those things. And, of course, we find them. Of course we do. They're in all of them today. But they weren't creeping in, if you remember, when Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. While they were in Egypt, he was cleansing the land. He caused what took them there in the first place was a drought with record-breaking heat. And he cleansed that land, and when he brought them back, it was the land flowing with milk and honey. But also, it was flowing with sin. So we saw sin and the sickness creeping in those days, back into the land, and of course, this was what they were having to watch for. Well, the same thing was taking place here, and he was showing, Yashub was showing that he was, of course, watching these laws and handling them very carefully. He was the probably the high priest at that time, though it doesn't mention it, but you can see in his job he was doing the job of a priest, and he had priests under him. So you can work at it from that. Verse 8 says, "Then may I sow and another man eat, and may my offerings, he's talking about offerings, had to be without spot or blemish before they could be offered to Yahweh. My offerings be rooted out. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, if I have lurked at my neighbor's door," look at verse 10. "Then may my wife grind for another, and may other men sleep with her, for that would be a heinous crime." Yes, that would be criminal, iniquity, worthy of judgment. "It is a fire that devours Abaddon and would root out all my increase." Well, of course, he's speaking now of the final or the second death here that is shown to us in Revelation. Now, going over to, we're in chapter 31. Look at verse 26. Now, we had this actually take place in the house. And we had a group of people leave because we would not use the vernal equinox that man sets to watch for the feast, watch for the new moons, and set our feast days. But here we see this in verse 26, "Or if I have watched the light of the sun for the sign together for the new moons or the feast." Well, of course, Yahweh tells you, watch for the new moon of green ears. And when this arose up in the house, and you could tell Yashub was having trouble with this thing right here. And, of course, he stood up for Yahweh and what Yahweh says to do. And he said, no, this is not right. The vernal equinox, you can't use that. You've got to use the new moon of green ears. You've got to watch for the new moon of the green ears of barley. That's the law. I know many of you remember those incidents and you lived through it. But a lot of people left. And they're still watching for the equinox and using it to set their feast instead of doing what Yahweh tells us to do. Watch for the new moon of green ears. He says, if I have watched the light of the sun for this, to keep your feast, if I've done this, this is iniquity. It's putting away Yahweh's laws. If you look back to Leviticus 23 there and get that in your mind, Leviticus 23, Yahweh talks about his feast here. Leviticus 23, and Yahweh said, verse 1, he spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations." That holy, as I've explained before, means meeting with Yahweh. It's got to be meeting at the time Yahweh says and the place where he says, and there you go in front of Yahweh to keep the feast. And, of course, there in front of Yahweh, not separated in your own trailer, but in front of Yahweh, you go to keep the feast. "Concerning the feast of Yahweh, which are proclaimed to be holy convocation," and don't make them unholy convocation. Well, this is your new moons and your Sabbaths and your feast days. And the first thing he names here is the Holy Sabbath. And then if you go over to, what is it, Isaiah 66, I believe. Isaiah 66. And Isaiah 66 and Start with verse 21. Found on page 572, Isaiah 66, verse 21, he says, "And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, says Yahweh, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will remain before me, says Yahweh, so will your seed and your name remain." Now, he was speaking of the 12 tribes here. He was speaking to the 12 tribes, telling them how evil they were. But he also shows at that same time that as a shepherd would grab two ribs or a piece of meat out of the lion's mouth, that's the way he would pick his children, Isaiah shows, and pull them out one by one of a family, two of a country, he says, and so forth. And that's the reason you're here like you are. No, the whole family didn't come, did it? But he pulls you out and said, "You've got to be true to me, and I'm going to test you to see if you are." Then verse 22 says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth remain, so will you remain." And then verse 23, "And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come and worship before me. They'll come to my habitation and worship in front of me." Do you get that? Same thing commanded in Deuteronomy, same thing is shown in Revelations with 2 billion people in these last days. They'll remain forever. All flesh. Well, this is surely not the Gentiles, right? Or surely not them other races, right? "All flesh will come to worship before me, says Yahweh, and they will go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men who have transgressed." Transgressed means breaking Yahweh's laws, 1 John 3:4. "Transgressed against me, for their worm will not die, nor will their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." That's the ones that transgressed. Well, Yashub was saying, "Or if I have watched for the vernal equinox and not set my feast by the moon of green ears, so that my heart was secretly enticed by Satan to do so, secretly enticed by Satan, and my hand offered a kiss of homage from my mouth, that also would be perfidious." That means, if you don't remember, it means faithless, detrimental sin. That would be a faithless, detrimental sin, a criminal iniquity worthy of judgment. "For I would have betrayed Yahweh on high if I had given in to following the vernal equinox instead of the new moon of green ears, or offering a lamb that is blemished, are offering a lamb to take Yahshua's place, who is our Passover lamb, that would be iniquity," said Yashub. That's Yashub doing the talking. "If I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or rejoiced and gloated when trouble befell him, I have never allowed my mouth to sin by desiring a curse to come upon him." Let's look back to Deuteronomy 16 and tie this in here with the Job's speaking. Hold your place there in Yashub and turn back to Deuteronomy 16. Now this, of course, he's speaking here of the feast days and setting the new moon of green ears, following after that, as was given in the law. And then in Deuteronomy 16, you've got to get this in your mind as we go on back into Yashub there again. But In Deuteronomy 16, and notice verse 11. Deuteronomy 16, verse 11. You shall rejoice in front of Yahweh, your father. That's what Yashub was doing at that time. On down at the end, at the place Yahweh, your father. The last part of verse 11. At the place Yahweh, your father, chooses to establish his name. And then he gives you the feast, the three feasts there. And then chapter 17, if you'll look at verse 9, go to the priest who are Levites and to the judge who is in office at that time, ask for their decision. So this was what Yashub also was practicing there. Now, if you'll go back to Yashub again, chapter 31, and notice verse 33. If I have covered my transgression as Adam, concealing my iniquity in my heart. Well, I told you last week, you can't run and hide, and people do these things. They'll make a mistake or open their mouth and say a horrible thing, and then they can't stand to face the public. And of course, Yashub did not do that. He went to the priest the first thing when these things started coming up on him. And of course, he poured out his life to them. And they tried to decide what was wrong. Why was he suffering this? Well, of course, many people never look at the laws of Moshe, which shows in the laws of Moshe that we've got to be tried. We've got to be tried and tested. And of course, Satan uses the ones around us to try to pull us away. Satan is trying to convince the heavens, the heavenly courts, that you're unfit, that mankind is unfit to take over this great power. So Yashub says, if I have covered my transgression as Adam, or conceal my iniquity in my heart, not confessing to the priest. Well, he was confessing to the priest. He went to them and he made his confession. Because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of the cleansed, as I maintained silence, that is the congregation of the people, as I maintained silent and would not go out the door, oh, that Yahweh would listen to me. My desire is that the Almighty would answer me. Let my persecutors put his indictment in writing. I would wear it on my shoulders. I would put it on like a crown. I would not take a cover when they arrested me and hide my face from the camera. I would smile, I believe, said Yashub. Smile and let them know. Let them know how joyous I am that I could suffer for keeping Yahweh's laws and proclaiming it to the world. Praise Yahweh. Notice, I would wear it on my shoulders. I would put it on like a crown. Keep that in mind when you try to hide who you belong to. Someone told me recently that when they were trying to get in school at ACU to finish or one of the colleges here, to try to finish get the credits where they could get a better job, make more money, that when they were revealing that they couldn't go to school at a certain date, they said, what church do you belong to? And of course, they got no help after that. But how quickly they can turn against you when you mention the name Yahweh. Well, of course, they did the right thing.
This one did. They chose Yahweh, and they put this on his name on their shoulders, and they wear it like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps like a prince. I would approach him. If my land cries out against me, and all its furrows are wet with weeping, if I have eaten its increase without payment, or snuffed it out the living of my tenants, then may thistles grow instead of wheat, and may weeds rather than barley.
You know, you could tell that they were raising their own food right here. If you just look at what's going on, they had a house of Yahweh here where they brought clean food. As Yashub was saying, the food is clean. We have not caused it to suffer. And of course, their land wasn't defiled at that time, except it was creeping in, as we see in history, in the 10 tribes here. But he is talking about all those things, the raising of the food for the people, of having workers that they gave allowances to, or whatever they called it, that they had their meals there and they had clean food. And in spite of the world around them saying, this is not the way, let's get it from Babylon, he was maintaining what Yahweh had shown him. Chapter 32, so these three men ceased answering Yashub because he was righteous in his own eyes, but the wrath of Eliu, the son of Barachel, and Buzite of the clan of Ram, notice these were judges now, flared up against Yashub because he justified himself rather than Yahweh. And rightly so, because Yashub could not understand why Yahweh was allowing this. But he said, if Yahweh wants to do it, that's fine with me. It was the rest of the people, like his wife and so forth, that wanted him to scream out against Yahweh before he died, as she said. But also his anger flared up against his three companions because they could not refute Yashub and so prove Yashub to be guilty. Well, of course, he wasn't guilty. He was very much a man of honor and kept Yahweh's laws, statutes, and judgments. Now, in Exodus, we see that what he was following here in Exodus 18, I don't think we're going back to Yashub again. So, Exodus 18 and notice 19. Now, this was judges. They called them companions, but they were judges of Yashub that he went to and told them what is going wrong here, and what he had done, and assuring them that none of this was being brought upon him because he was guilty of sin, but because he was being tried and what Yahweh was doing was righteous to him. This was Yashub's argument all through this thing. Well, here in verse 18 now of Exodus, in verse 19, he says, listen now to me, and I will give you sound advice. Well, of course, this was the great priest of Yahweh, Yethro, who was telling Moshe, you're doing wrong here. You can't handle this by yourself. You've got to have help. You've got to dispense the workout to the rest of the people. You can't do it all yourself. Did you know that when the house of Yahweh first was in the mobile sanctuary, I used to cook the meals?
and I would get the meals ready to serve. And I didn't have much help at that time, but I said, I want to do this. And I want to show the people how great these foods taste that Yahweh says is clean. And I would I did this for a long time. And when we moved into the sanctuary when we built the new sanctuary on TNP Lane, that's now a press room, we did the same thing there. But, of course, at that time, the women was in there cooking big time, and plates were being brought from other places. And then we outgrew our kitchen and had to quit. But that was a shock to me. I didn't like that. And I wanted to get it back, and I'm glad we've got it now to where everyone can eat here that want to in the house. Praise Yahweh. But notice here, he says, listen now to me, and I will give you sound advice, and may Yahweh be with you. You must be the people's representative before Yahweh and bring their disputes to him. And you shall teach them the ordinances and laws and shall show them the way in which they must walk and the work that they must do. You see what he's telling Moshe? He's telling them, you've got to put these people to work. Now, we got 2 billion people coming, you know, and what we're going to have to do is get workers out of that 2 billion and quickly teach them and put them to work. And this is what I'm telling you now. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as Reverend Yahweh, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them as rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. How far do we want to go? Keep going. And let them judge the people. Let them judge. That's exactly what Yob was doing there when he went to the same judges and confessed his whole life. And they said, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's this. No, it's not that, he said. I wouldn't do that. If I'd have done that, I'd be guilty before you. But I'm not guilty, he said. Verse 23, if you will do this thing and Yahweh so commands you. Did you see that? Yahweh commands you to put these people to work. Then you will be able to endure, and all the people will also go to their places in peace. In peace, that's what we're seeking. Everyone could go to their places in peace if everybody chips in and does the job. It won't be hard on anyone. And Moshe listened to Yethro and did all that he had said. Moshe was a very humble man, and he took his advice here as a command straight from Yahweh. And verse 26, and they judged the people at all times, and hard cases they brought to Moshe, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moshe let Yethro depart, and he went his way into his own land. He was trying to get him not to leave him, and then after this he felt like he could handle the job and let him go back. Yethro was the priest of Yahweh, and he taught Moshe what to do, and Moshe followed it, just like we'll be turning over to Deuteronomy 12 now, because you've got to tie this in with what we have here right now, and what the trials we're going through and have gone through. Maybe that's it. Maybe our trials are about finished. I hope they are. I hope that that we're satisfactory to Yahweh. In Deuteronomy 12, and remember the judges that that Jethro said to set up, and that's what you saw in Yashub, the judges. And he was being judged by what they call companions. They were judges, but yes, they were companions of his, very close elders, priests of Yahweh. But you are to seek, in Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, you're to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh. Now, in the last days, remember,
Isaiah 2:2 and Micah 4 says, "In the last days I will establish my house, and it will have judges. And you are to seek that place if you want to have salvation, because salvation is only offered at Yahweh's house, no other place. At the place Yahweh chooses to be, you have to go in front of him. He's not in a Baal church. Yeah, you won't find him there. When you go there, you're going in front of Satan. If you go any other place than a prophesied place of that Yahweh has prophesied, which were seven altogether, seven of them. That's the tree of life, the seven trees of life, or menorah, represented by seven works, and the one sent at each one of those. Well, you go in front of Yahweh, notice, all of your tribes, but you shall seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. No ifs, ands, and buts. There you must go. In chapter 17 now, this same Deuteronomy, chapter 16, in verse 11, he says, "You shall rejoice in front of Yahweh." And then the last part, "At the place Yahweh your father chooses, you shall rejoice in front of him." Verse 13, "At the Feast of Tabernacles." And my feast, from one new moon to another and from one feast to another, starting with the Sabbath, all flesh shall appear before me. That is, the ones that are left alive. The others are going to be ashes under your feet, as he said in Isaiah. In verse 15, 7 days you must keep a joyous feast, and Yahweh will bless you. Three times a year, verse 16, last part, appear in front of Yahweh. Verse 18, you must appoint judges. You must appoint judges. This is exactly what Jethro told Moshe. Well, here Moshe is telling you, you've got to appoint judges. And then in chapter 17 and verse 9, go to the priests who are Levites and to the judges who is in office at that time and seek for their decision. Well, that's exactly what Yashub was doing. This made him perfect, perfect in the eyes of Yahweh. Look on over to chapter 28, chapter 28 of this of Deuteronomy. Chapter 28, verse 1, you got to listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Father by observing and doing all his laws which I command you. That's the last day's house. In the last days I will establish my house. And there you've got to listen diligently to the voice of your Father Yahweh, observing and doing all his laws which I command you. Appointing judges is part of that process. Then, Yahweh says, the Savior says now, the Savior himself says in Matithya, Amos 3:7 says he'll definitely have no other work except that prophesied. And Yahshua, Deuteronomy 12:5 says, seek the habitation of Yahweh. That's the kingdom of Yahweh he's speaking of. The Savior says in Matithya 6 and verse 33, he says, but you are to seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Where do you find the righteousness of Yahweh taught? What is Yahweh's righteousness? It's keeping his laws, statutes, and judgment. 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever transgresses the law becomes a sinner. 1 John 3:7 and 8 says, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Practices keeping his laws are righteous. Practice breaking his laws is sin. That's simple. Will seek the place, the kingdom of Yahweh, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things is talking about possessions, physical possessions. And if not, of course, you will have no root, as Joshua said. And that's where, let's turn over to Mark, quickly, Mark the fourth chapter, because here again, he shows why people lead. Now, if you will do this, this was what the family that brought up Joshua, that's what they did. They practiced the laws of Yahweh. Zebulun, remember, he saw the great light. The light of Yahweh's laws, the light that converts the whole person. Now, if you will practice these laws, this will convert you to a person like Yashub, or even greater than Yashub, your Savior, Yahshua Messiah, who was willing, get this, could you do this right now? Could you die for those who hate you? Well, that's the spirit I want in you. That's the character that Yahweh desires in you. And if they kill you, pray for their forgiveness while they're doing so. As Jeremiah, the great prophet, he says, do with me as you want to. But I've told you the truth. I've told you the truth. And if you don't keep Yahweh's laws, then you're going to burn the second death because you've had your opportunity. In Hebrews 10, verse 26, if we go on practicing sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice of sin, but that fearful looking expectation of a fury indignation which will devour the adversary. Well, that's what you're facing if you don't keep Yahweh's laws. Now, here in Mark 4:17, praise Yahweh, 4:17, Yahshua says, have no root in themselves and so endure only a time. Well, what is that root? You know, you go to the house of Yahweh. They teach you. It goes in here, in the ears. But it starts growing in here, planting in here. Then it starts bringing roots into your heart. That is, your heart starts planting roots into Yahweh, and it starts loving Yahweh. And the deeper that love grows for you in Yahweh, His laws, and the plan that He has for you, the more you can endure, the more you'll see that what we're going through now is just tests and trials for that job that's awaiting you in Yahweh's kingdom. And One more scripture. If you'll turn over to Daniel 9, it's found on page 681. Now here, of course, was at a time when the 12 tribes, as Yahweh told them they would, they were fighting against one another. And of course, each one was taking over the other's possessions and stealing from one another. It's just a big mess of theft and murder that all over the whole state of Israel. And then, of course, they'd spread out to the other nations too. And at this time, a group of them had a strong army in Babylon, and they were taking captives there who wouldn't give up keeping the Sabbath and insisted on using the name Yahweh but was still cut off from Yahweh. And Daniel was trying to show them why this was taking place. But Daniel says here in chapter 9 and verse 24, now here is the plan. But now look back to 13 first. Just as it is written in the law given through Moshe, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayers to you, O Yahweh, our Father. So they were already stopped using the name at that time. And of course, the whole group was taken captive. And Daniel, being one that was righteous, went to trying to show them what we're trying to show the world today. But Yahweh has a plan. And this is what I want everyone to get this. And He gives you a time period here on this. He's working, yes, with the 12 tribes. You're part of the 12 tribes. There's nobody else left except the 12 tribes. There is no other bloodline other than the 12 tribes. It comes straight
from the original, from two people, and it hasn't changed. 70 weeks of years is that it should be recorded, are determined upon your people and upon the holy city to finish transgression. That is, to stop it, to put a stop to transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Everlasting righteousness. Can you imagine that? All throughout the whole universe now is what Yahweh's total plan is. Praise Yahweh. They know in heaven, they know and they're convinced that Yahweh's plan is working because they can see it, the prophecies. They are able to see those prophecies fulfilled, so they know it's working, and that's the reason their hopes are so high, and they're ready to accept. They're ready to accept you, along with all of those who have given up their lives in the before us, previous to this last day's house of Yahweh. Those who have suffered just like you, including Yashub, who's suffering and is suffering and being tried and tested. But the heavens are awaiting you, brethren. They will accept you readily, and they will accept Yahweh's laws readily, because they're glued on his plan right now. There are a lot of them that won't accept it, but you'll have power over them. You'll have much more power than they, so it won't be any problem to put down the unruly at that time. But the ones that will accept you is going to be the mass majority of this universe that's going to do that. And once the quartet sees that what we're saying is truth, they're going to lay down their arms too. Yahweh promises this in cutting off the four horns of this blasted altar of death. That's what you're going to do. Ooh, bed. It's worth working for, it's worth sweating for, it's worth whatever we have to do to go through. But come to perfection, and let's all be a part of it together, and we'll live joyously ever after. That's a promise from Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!
Love you.